Father, we thank you that your presence is here, that you are speaking a single thought to us. Lord, we love you. We stand before your throne, and we acknowledge that we need you every single moment. God, without you, it is impossible to go forward. We ask today that you speak to us from your word. I know that you've spoken to my heart. Now, God, speak to each one of us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, just recently in my devotions, I was shocked back to reality as I was reading through the book of Kings. And as I was in the book of Kings, and you can turn there this afternoon to 1 Kings, the first book of Kings in the Old Testament, and chapter 11. We're not going to spend time on this portion of Scripture other than just to use it as an illustration of what God has been putting on my heart to. You know, just recently in my devotions, I was shocked back to reality as I was reading through the book of Kings. And as I was in the book of Kings, and you can turn there this afternoon to 1 Kings, the first book of Kings in the Old Testament, and chapter 11. We're not going to spend time on this portion of Scripture other than just to use it as an illustration of what God has been putting on my heart to. To 10 verse 7, when the Queen of Sheba comes to visit the land of Israel and goes to see Solomon, in verse 7 it says, "Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." And I was writing the story of God, how you have so mightily blessed this individual. How mightily blessed this man was. At every turn that he made, he was blessed. And when I got to chapter 11, and I've read this, I can't even tell you how many times I've read the book of Kings, but when I read it fresh again just recently, for whatever reason, it shocked me back into reality that none of us can escape the many things that come against us in our lives. Listen to this in chapter 11, verse 1. "But King Solomon loved many strange women." This is after all that God has done for him, all that he's accomplished in life. And then we get into chapter 11, "and many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon cleaved unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." And the part that spoke to me is in verse 4, "and it came to pass when Solomon was old." And it suddenly struck me, I'm 56 years of age and getting up there. And I prayed when I read this, and I said, "God, here was a man that you had blessed so much, and yet at the end of his life looked like a field that had been overgrown with weeds." And I've heard Pastor Carter preach it many times from this pulpit and speak about it. "Lord, you know the end of our life. If there's anything that's going to cause me to be deterred from accomplishing the end goal that you have set for me, God, deal with me now. Deal with my heart now. Deal with me today. Don't ever let me get so hard. Don't let me get so pushed away from the things of God that I end up like this in old age. Oh God, I just found myself just walking and pacing in my living room and saying, oh God, keep me tender. Keep me soft. Whenever you speak to me, give me a heart to obey you. Give me a heart to respond as soon as you touch an area in my life." And that's been my cry. And I look at this man and I think, oh God, how far that he went from you, just like a field with full of weeds. And when we were living in South Dakota in the 80s, we had some very good friends who were farmers. And I remember driving out to their farm one day with the family, and as we were driving out, he was telling me, he showed me a field, and it was lying fallow, wasn't being planted that particular year. And he says, but look out on that field. And in that field, there were so many different kinds of plants. There was a sunflower stalk up here, and then there was a couple of corn stalks at different places, and there was a few soybeans here and there. There were some grasses growing at different places. Weeds were all over the place. And he said, look at this field. There's so many crops that are growing up, so many things that are growing in this field. And he said, we call this a volunteer crop. And I said, well, you know, what do you mean by volunteer crop? He says, well, when they rotate the crops each year, they might grow corn this year, the next year they'll grow soybean in the same field, and then once they've harvested, there's seeds that come from the last crop that fall into the ground, and they just get plowed in under the ground. And they lie dormant there. The next year they may plow it up, then they put a whole field of soybeans, or in the wintertime they'll put wheat, or they might put sunflower plants, seeds in one year. And he said, but in the ground, there's still seeds from previous crops, even from way back with all those weeds, all those grasses, right in the original beginning before they plowed up the field. Those are lying dormant in the ground. And then when the ground lies fallow for a short season, then those dormant seeds that are in the soil just begin to pop up and begin to grow. And that they call that a volunteer crop. And I looked at that field and it didn't look pretty at all. I mean, it's nice to see a field full of wheat shining and glimmering in the sunshine. It's another thing to see different kind of plants coming up all over the place. But God began to speak to me about volunteer crops, things that you've maybe dealt with 20 years ago and suddenly start springing up in an area that you have not kept cultivated. Certain things that you thought were long gone behind you suddenly begin to surface in your life one more time. And the Lord, many years ago, spoke to me about recognizing crops that grow in our lives. And it came at a critical season when our children were in their teenage years, and we were traveling doing marriage ministries, and our children were in those critical years of their teens. And I remember this one time, you know, not every parent has a teenage daughter who sits in the back seat of the car and reads to you 10 mistakes parents make with their children. Remember Deborah reading that book and saying, oh, look at number 2. Absolutely, you made a mistake right here. And so we were instructed by our own children on the mistakes that we had made. There are times that we felt like hypocrites because we seemed to have failed at every turn. And we saw these things, especially in one of our child's life, our son. We saw things that were not right, and we were so grieved. And it would be something that we would pray about, and we would fast about, and we'd grip God about. We'd do spiritual warfare. We'd pray back and forth. And yet we saw these things emerging that troubled us so deeply. And we sort of had no answer to it. We were traveling. I mean, we had never raised teenagers before. This was our first shot with our 3 kids. And it was like traveling in the dark, and we would turn to the Lord and ask Him for His kind of help. How do we deal with this? How do you handle this situation? What do we do in this circumstance? I remember the one time we were heading out, and we got onto the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and we'd gone through like 3 or 4 tunnels as we were heading out west. And as we were driving along the turnpike, Nolene was reading from Isaiah. And just reading through some scriptures, and we were dialoguing, and we would pray. We would take every opportunity that we had when we would do a long distance trip by car. We would spend a lot of that time just simply praying, just interceding saying, God, you've got to help. You've got to come and help us in this situation. We saw all of these things coming up into the light in the lives of the kids, and we said, we need help. And this one occasion, Noni began to read Isaiah, and this is what Isaiah says. Let me just read it to you for the sake of time. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and making it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish all that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And she read that verse of scripture. And when she read it, we began to discuss it. And we said, God, there's something in this word that you want to speak to us about the situation. And the Holy Spirit began to just speak into our lives and said, don't stop praying. They might emerge with all these kinds of difficulties in their lives, but they will never be able to overcome the power of prayer. Prayer is the most powerful force, and they will never be able to overcome that power to pray them through the circumstances. And the Holy Spirit spoke a second word, and he says, don't stop speaking the word in your family's life. Get a word for them. Pray and get a vision for your kids, and then speak that word into their lives. Even when it doesn't look like that word is materializing, speak the word into their life, because that word will begin to emerge. If I send my word into their hearts, it will not return unto me void. It will accomplish that which I sent it out to do. And God put this into our heart. I'm telling you, we were so downcast. We felt like the number one hypocrites in the nation. Everything was going wrong. Things were not going well. And we were so down. But I tell you, things changed. I remember that spot on the Pennsylvania Turnpike that the Holy Ghost came into that car and he began to speak a word of hope into our hearts, that God's word will not return void unto him, and that you all need to take a hold of it and believe it. Hallelujah. We began to believe that word for the kids, and we began to pray it over them. But the more we prayed, the more these volunteer crops started coming up. And we said, God, what is this? How come we pray and this volunteer crop comes up? He says, I'm watering the seeds that would destroy him later on in years. I'm watering those seeds. I'm causing that seed to germinate and to grow up. And when you see rebellion, it's because I've watered that seed and allowed it to come up, that you can deal with it in prayer. Hallelujah. This is a hope. Beloved, God will allow things to emerge, not for destruction, but he will allow it to emerge. And we got such a hope by that. So when we saw these different things emerging, we knew that God was watering that seed. And God spoke clearly. He said, if I don't germinate that seed now, then later on when he's an adult or she's an adult and they're in life, that these seeds will come up at critical times and destroy them. It's better to deal with the issue now. It's better to recognize the crop now and begin to deal with it. Oh, we got so much joy. I can't even begin to tell you. You know, when God gives you an answer to something, you don't even see the end result, but you know it's as good as done with God. We would just march around every time we'd see a volunteer crop coming up. We'd dance a jig in the living room. We'd just dance around and say, oh, God, God's doing this. Hallelujah. The more they acted out, the more we said, that's why I'd come to the surface. God's going to cut you down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Put in the sickle. Cut it down. Boom. There's some parents today who are in the house and you're going berserk with saying, God, I don't know what to do with these kids. I hope today God is giving you an answer saying, I'm letting this come up so you can put the sickle into that bad harvest and get it out. This is God's word today. And we got so much joy in that. That was the time when we looked at our son's life and he was going in exactly the opposite direction to God, to the family, to anything that was right. And God spoke, that's when he spoke to our word, the same trip, on the same highway that he gave us this word. God said to me, if I can knock the rudder of his life 1 degree, 1 degree, that's all that has to happen. You busy with all of these things going on in his life, and you're getting all in a tiz about all of these things. But you're going to understand that if I send my word out into his life, it will knock that rudder 1 degree. Folks, I got to tell you, any ship that has got a rudder that is pointed straight out and heading out to, in the opposite direction, if that rudder is knocked by 1 degree, that ship has to turn. It cannot but not turn. It won't be a speedboat turnaround, but it will turn. Because that rudder is off kilter, and it's going to begin to turn that ship slowly but surely. And so over the years, we watch. Today, he's a married man. All my children are married with children and are doing well. All of them are serving the Lord. And I take and I say, thank you, Jesus. Would I like more fire? Absolutely, I'd like more fire. But I'm thankful for how God has honored his word all of these years. Amen. He'll turn the ship. He'll turn the life. And so don't get into a panic right now. If you see rebellion, just start thanking God. Instead of going bananas, start praising God. So I say, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see this and it's coming down in the name of Jesus. Amen. And God will do that for you as he has done it for us. You see, the enemy would like to recover old ground. He wants to recover old ground without even putting up a fight. So if there's an area in your life that is uncultivated, then you are going to begin to see volunteer crops come up. It's a guarantee. In fact, the scriptures tell us this. I went by the field of the slothful in Proverbs 24, 30 and 31. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And listen to this. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles and had covered the face thereof. We think if there's an area that is not being nurtured by the Holy Spirit, if we're not dealing with an area, we think it's just lying fallow. Nothing's going on. Nothing is further than from the truth than that. The Bible says that even though you may not see it, the field of the slothful began to grow, but not good crops, volunteer crops of different things, like I mentioned. Maybe you dealt with an area 20 years ago and suddenly it's popping back up again. It's a good warning sign. It's a good indication that we need to deal with things that are popping up in our lives. You've heard the statement, don't shoot the messenger. How many have heard that statement? Yeah, don't shoot the messenger. Somebody comes along and says something to you, don't shoot the messenger. It could be God. It could be God just trying to get your attention to something. I know that in our life, you know, if my wife says to me, you keep saying this or you keep doing this, you don't shoot the messenger, you say, thank you, Lord. Because sometimes we've got blinders on. We don't always see the things that are coming up. And that God wants us to deal with them and move on in our life. See, God does want us to reap. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So, and then in chapter 5, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. And verse 18 of chapter 5 says, and if you're led by the Spirit. So God says, speaks to us and says that there is a fruitfulness that he wants us to have in our Christian walk. And he says, my word will not return void. And if you sow to the Spirit, if you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Saying to the Spirit simply means that when God speaks, you listen and you obey. It can't get any more complicated than that. You hear the nudge. God speaks, you listen, you obey. He wants to give you a harvest beyond your measure. I remember we had this bag of African maize, all the way from Africa. Maize is one of the staple diets where we come from, and it's a great, they grind it up and we cook it up and we eat it. I love it to this day. I had this bag of maize in South Dakota. And I said to this farmer friend of mine, would you give me just a little square patch? And he said, sure. And so he got his tractor out and he plowed up this little square patch. It was like on a crossroads. And you could see this little patch from the highway going by. And he said, what do you want to plant in this little patch? I said, I got some maize seeds from Africa. He says, oh, it's going to be interesting to see. And so he plowed it up, he got it raked, and it all looked good. And he said, but you have to plant it. So I was out there with my wife, and we would just walked in, and every now and then we'd just make a little hole in the ground, and we'd put this maize seed into the ground. Now, maize seed in Africa is designed to live on little water. And it'll grow. It won't get too big because it's designed to survive on the least amount of water. I don't know about you, but if you understand South Dakota, but they get rain in that place. And so we planted this seed. And I've got photographs to show. In fact, I wanted to bring a photograph, Pastor Carl, and stick it up on the screen here to show you. We planted the seed, and we were out there, and he said every Monday on our day off, we would get out and we would weed this patch about as big as this platform, and we would just hoe it. We'd clean up all the weeds, and this maize was coming up. You could hear it grow. I'm not kidding. If you sat long enough, you could watch the thing just start. Jack and the Beanstalk had nothing on this African maize. This stuff grew. Folks, it was a cleaned out field. We made sure every week we made sure it was cleaned out in the furrows. This stuff, when it got to my height, I took a picture. When it was this high, we took a picture. When it got to this height, we took a picture. When it got to my height, we took a picture. When it got beyond my fingertips, we took another picture. This stuff grew to like 9 feet tall. People were going by with cameras taking a picture of all of this African maize growing. And God spoke to us and said, this is what I wanted. We had such a harvest of maize. It was amazing. We dried that up and ground it up and we ate it for months on end. You see, God wants to give you a harvest. The heart of God, he says, if you sow to the Spirit, if you simply obey the Holy Spirit's prompting, when he speaks to you, you simply obey, God will give you a harvest beyond measure. And that's what we began to do with the children. We just began to see these things. And we said, God, we will do our part. And we made sure that the furrows were clean. But God, you're going to have to do the rest. And I stand here today to tell you that God is an awesome God. And he is going to give you a harvest in your life beyond what you could think. All those words that we spoke, God gave us something in our heart for our children. And we spoke that word. God gave us a vision for our own marriage when it was just about at a hairbreadth away from divorce. God began to speak a hope and a vision back into our hearts and lives. Today we're 36 years married and are in deeply in love and more love than ever before. Because you put a vision in your heart. God's word is visionary. It'll put something in you. It'll put a hope within you. And God will bring that harvest into being, and you will see an incredible thing before your eyes. Repentance is the great weed killer. When you do wrong, say, I'm sorry. When you're wrong, say, it was my fault. Own up. Don't get political. Don't meander around the tulips. If you're wrong, say, I'm wrong. Repentance is the greatest weed killer that there is. You can try every other thing, but when you just say, God, forgive me, I'm sorry, it begins, that thing in your life begins to wilt immediately. It's like he can curse the tree and it can dry immediately. Folks, I got to tell you today that that's what God will do with any of those seeds that grow, those crops that begin, volunteer crops that begin to grow. The moment you say, God, I am sorry, I repent, it's like God puts weed killer on that thing and it begins to wilt from the roots immediately. You might have strongholds, but today they die. Hallelujah. There might be a stronghold in your life, but today they die. Today the weeds are gone. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me just share with you from John chapter 10, verse 27. He says, my sheep hear my voice. If you belong to the Lord, you do hear his voice. And he will speak to you. In Psalms 95, it says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Turn with me to Hebrews, because the Hebrew writer picks this up in Hebrews chapter 3. Turn then to Hebrews chapter 3. And let me just read to you a couple of verses here. Responding to the Holy Spirit. Look in chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. It says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith. Now, we know God has already spoken this in the Psalms. The writer of the Hebrews picks this up. And then he says, this is the Holy Spirit speaking. This is the voice of the Holy Spirit that is going to give you this word, as the Holy Spirit says. So he's putting in the brackets here, the Holy Spirit said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. See, when you go down to verse 13, it says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Does sin harden the heart? Yes. But the beginning, and this is what the Holy Spirit showed me, the beginning of the hardening process is resisting the voice of God. Don't harden your heart. When you hear the voice of the Lord speak to you, wherefore as the Holy Spirit said, today, if you hear his voice, don't resist it. Don't harden. It's the beginning of hardening of your heart is not the actual sin. Sin is going to harden you. But the beginning of hardening, when you lose the consciousness of what is right and wrong, begins when the Holy Spirit speaks to you about a particular crop that's growing, something that's ugly from the past that begins to surface one more time, something that is troubling, annoying at you. And the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you. You see, it's the resistance of the voice of the Holy Spirit that begins the hardening process. That's why people, there's a term that is used in the church and we use it many times without really explaining it. It's called backsliding. And we say if there's any backsliders in the house, well, what does the term backslider really mean? It means that there was a time, and I know in a smaller church, in a church where every seat is coveted and it gets filled up pretty quickly in a big house, it's not always seen. Because you can be a backslider on the second row because that's the only seat you could get. But in smaller churches, it was common use where someone who gave their life to the Lord, I remember when I first got saved, it was the front row, folks. Always the front row with my Bible open. The pastor says, does anybody have a testimony? Yes. Did I have one? Well, I had one now. It was just that spontaneous. You got saved. You were at the front row. But then when the enemy comes in and sows seeds and things begin to grow in your lives and you begin to cool off in the things of the Lord and you don't cultivate the relationship with the Lord. You don't cultivate the soil that God's given you. then it's easy to start going from the front row to the second row to the third row to the back row and then out the door. That's how the term backsliding got its name. It's sliding from the front to the back and then out. We don't always share that. Well, how do you know if you're slipping? How do you know if things are not as hot as they should be? I just jotted down a few things. If you made the statement this last April 15th, I'm not cheating on my taxes. I'm just not giving the government all that they need or all that they want. You could be slipping. If you make statements like this, well, I don't have to go to all the services. I don't have to go to church all the time. I'll just download a message, then go to church. You could be slipping. You could be slipping. If you say, well, I'm not going back to alcohol, but I read in this magazine that red wine is good for your heart. We just have it at dinner time. None of these things are wrong, but folks, for the person that's on fire for the Lord, these are the things that we look at. I'm not clubbing. I'm just witnessing to my coworkers in the bar. I began with Solomon, and I saw the blessing of God on his life. And I got to be honest, I know the story well. I've heard it preached. I've read it several times. But with renewed passion and a renewed conviction in my heart, I said, Lord, while it is still today, I'm not going to wait till tomorrow. I'm not going to wait for another occasion. While it's still today, I don't want to end up a 1 Kings chapter 11 person. I don't want to end up in old age having my heart turned away from the things of God. I don't want that, beloved. And I don't know if it's resonating with you at all, but I want to obey the Holy Spirit. I believe that God has got an immense harvest of reaching people and lives. God's got an immense harvest for every one of us. A very powerful walk with Him awaits every single one of us. I believe that. Regardless how old we get, I still believe that at 98 years old, I'm going to be able to say to somebody, Jesus loves you. And God can turn that heart for Him. Amen? And I believe that with all my heart. And so today, I stand before you and I say the Holy Spirit, when He speaks, and He nudges, and He begins to show you a volunteer crop. Deal with it. Deal with it while you still have time. Whether it's by prayer, by confession. But I know that if you sow to the Spirit, if you obey the Holy Ghost, the end result is life. The end result is life. The Bible says if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life everlasting. And that just doesn't mean going to heaven. I believe that you have heaven all the way to heaven. You have the presence of God every day that you walk with Him. Amen? Amen. Today, if you hear His voice, don't resist. Don't harden. Respond. Respond to Him. Respond to the Holy Ghost. Whatever He's dealing with, respond to Him, and you will begin to see an incredible harvest emerge in your life. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You. We stand as testimonies of what You have done in our families. We look over our shoulder and we say, God, You've been good to us. God, You've been so good to us. Everything You spoke into our hearts, You have accomplished. And we say thank You. Lord, there are people today that You know that You've been speaking to, and the urging of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, is to get them to respond. You do have a plan. plan to bless. And Lord, I pray today that all that are hearing this word will respond to your Holy Spirit and be free. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand with me today. If God has spoken to your heart, I know that there may be a fight that's going on right now, but as the musicians come and play, if God has spoken to you in an area, just get out of your seats and you come to this altar. I'm going to pray with you today, and those volunteer crops are going to die. In Jesus' name, you're going to be set free today. Hallelujah. This altar is open for you. We're going to sing a song. You come and we'll pray together.
I have a word for you, those that have come to the altar under this word today. Mark chapter 11 talks about Jesus going into Jerusalem. And on the way in, there was a tree that he encountered that had no fruit on it. And he spoke to that tree and he cursed it. And in the morning, it says, as they passed by, they saw this particular fig tree dried up from the roots. And the disciples said to him, Peter said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering them said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now, there are times, there are seasons in our lives when it's just one. It seems like it's just an annoyance in our lives. Something that's come into our lives and we've let it live there and we thought we could control it. But I know that many of you have come to this altar. This thing that started out as one tree has become a mountain. It's a forest. It's grown a root system underground. It's popped up all over the place. And Jesus said, no, have faith in God. If you say unto this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things that you say shall come to pass, you will have it. He said, therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. If you've got this fruitless area of your life, which is not bearing fruit to the glory of God, and it's been there a long time, and it's become a mountain. That's why some of you are at this altar today. The Lord says to you, speak to this thing. And believe in your heart that I'm going to take it by the roots out, even if it's become a mountain, and I'm going to cast it into the sea. If you believe in your heart that I will do this, you shall have it. That's what the scripture says, and that's a word for you today. You've got to believe this. The Lord will not take it out gradually, in some cases maybe, but in this case today, he's going to take the whole thing out, and you're going to be set free. Perhaps a pattern of living for years and years. Pastor Neil, you come and pray. But this is the word for you today. You believe that God's going to take that out of your life today and he's going to cast it into the sea. It's going to have its power over your life completely destroyed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you believe that, beloved? Hallelujah. Do you believe that at the altar today? Maybe, you know, this has just been exactly what God has, you've been waiting for this moment. God is going to do. Just raise your hands towards heaven now. And you, the Bible says with
Even if you have a small amount of faith, you'll say that mountain. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I thank you today that your word has found its mark in my life. I receive it and I believe it. And now I say, in the authority of the name of Jesus, to that mountain, be thou removed right now and cast into the sea. Lord, I believe that the root system of this thing in my life is now torn out and cast out of my life, and I proclaim that I am free by the name of Jesus right now. Hallelujah. Now give him praise. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God never intended a 10-step program for you. He never intended a 10-step program. He said one word, believe it, and you'll be free. Amen. Father, I thank you that you have set many free today. By faith, we just see lives absolutely walking out in freedom tonight. And we bless each person. And we say, God, thank you that a new crop, a new harvest has been planted. They've sown to the Spirit in obedience today. And Lord, you're going to do something wonderful in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give him praise one more time. God bless you.